RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can also listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz. Or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id. Hello, listener. Welcome back to English Bulletin of RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. In today's edition, we'll present to you our program summary for today. First, we'll bring you our news, followed by commentary, Today in History, and Focus for Ukraine, Headline Newspaper, and News in Brief. We'll continue our next program with Indonesian Wonder and Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia. We'll conclude our program for today with Music Corner. That was our program summary for today. Stand by now for the news.
Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here is the news read by Rahman Afus, the headlines. Tinombala's search operation of Santoso Group is extended for 60 days. Indonesian government puts in the House to prioritize anti-sexual violence. European Union launches Europe Month in Indonesia. Now the news in detail. Tinombala operation team is extended to 60 days. Due to the Police Public Relations Division Brigadier General Boy Rafli Amr said, the joint team still needs more time to capture the remaining Santoso group in Poso Mountains, Central Sulawesi. Boy Rafli Amr at the police headquarters in Jakarta on Tuesday said the team wants to immediately complete four-sheet operation that has been going on for years against the group and its leader Abu Wardah alias Santoso. He explained the police do not want the Santoso group increasingly bigger and threatening the lives of surrounding communities. He added that the search efforts of the group is not easy. Although the team has been mapped, the militant group assistance they difficult to reach due to the rough terrain. 10 police personnel of Palestine are participating in exercises in handling cybercrime and digital pranksit in Indonesia starting from May 9th until 18, 2016. Press release of the Indonesian embassy in Amman, Jordan, is quoted by Antara on Tuesday, said that the training is organized by Directorate of Technical Cooperation Indonesian Minister of Foreign Affairs in cooperation with the Police Institute of Education Training. The exercise of handling cybercrime digital forensics and to increase the capacity of the Palestinian police forces in the field of prevention of crime in cyberspace and forensic investigation digital methods. The activity which they followed up to promise to the promise of Indonesian government Palestinian in supporting and preparing the human resources capacity, especially the government apparatus. Meanwhile, head of the police institution, Commissioner General of Police Safruddin, said the police had carried out a number of operations cooperation with foreign police forces. The cooperation is with the Afghan police and Myanmarese police. Indonesian government needs to establish holding companies as per its plan in order to implement President Joko Widodo's economic policy packages, especially in the energy sector. Deputy Chairman for Upstream Committee of the Indonesian Chamber of Commerce and Industry, Kadin Ahmad Wijaya, said the economy policy packages could not be implemented because there is no company which can serve as a moderator for the program. Therefore, the establishment of holding company for state-owned companies in the energy sector is urgently needed. If possible, it should be established before August 17, 2016. Since September last year, the government has issued 12 tranches of economic policy packages. Three of these economic policy packages needed to be implemented on priority as these deal with refinery plants, new and renewable energy gas conversion for motor vehicles. If formation of a holding company is put on hold, these packages would not be implemented any sooner. Indonesian government has vowed to force the House of Representatives DPR to include sexual violence bill in the National Legislation Program, or locally called Prolegnas, this year in a bid to stop sexual violence from escalating after the gang-rape and murder of a 14-year-old girl in Bengkulu. As reported by Jakarta Post Cabinet Secretary Pramono Anung, said the government is taking sexual violence seriously. It said that President Joko Widodo has instructed the cabinet to prioritize the issue. He explained the government will push to prioritize the bill in pro-lifeness because it should be addressed as soon as possible with the House of Representatives. One of the proposed punishments for the perpetrators of the sexual crimes is chemical castration. The government is pushing for the House to include the bill in its next set of deliberations so that the formulation of the law, including the punishment, can be formulated soon. The European Union launched the Europe Month in Indonesia. The launching was an act commemorating Europe Day on May 9th, the United Day of European Countries under European Union. Ambassador Vincent Garvan of European Union said in Jakarta on Monday that throughout May, the European Union holds a series of festivities to elevate knowledge on Europe and European Union activities in Indonesia. Ambassador Vincent also said European Month will bring closer relations between Europeans and Indonesians through cultural activities.
This month of May and the various events we've been organizing are really designed to promote friendship between Europeans and Indonesians to present Europe in its various aspects, particularly culturally. And we hope that all these events will be an additional opportunity to rejoice and to strengthen the ties of friendship which exist between the European and Indonesian public and youth in particular.
Furthermore, Ambassador Vincent explained in addition to the cultural activities to strengthen relations between Europeans and Indonesians, the European Union will also launch the 2016 Blue Book. He views that the Blue Book will provide annual reports on European Union-Indonesian development cooperation, namely in the field of education, civil society development, human rights protection, and sustainable development. The Deputy for Coordination of International Economic Cooperation of Minister of Economy, Rizal Afandi Lukman, said Indonesia is seeking to reduce its trade deficit with China that has built over the past few years. As quoted by Antara News Agency, said a step to achieve this purpose, export of various products to China would be boosted. He explained Indonesia must increase the export of prime commodities. Rizal also explained the export of prime products are very important to replace coal, whose price dropped in the international markets. Coal was one of the main Indonesian products exported to China. He said 26% of Indonesian export to China comprised coal, but its price is now down and consequently the export value has dropped. China's demand for the product has also come down due to the economic slowdown. Result added negotiation to resolve the issue of trade access barriers against certain products from Indonesia were also part of efforts to overcome the deficit. The last item, Indonesian President Joko Widodo said he had a strong belief that Indonesia is able to win the Thomas and Hubert Cup badminton tournament. The most prestigious tournament in the world will be held in China this year. President Joko Widodo, when receiving the Indonesian Thomas and Hubert Cup team group at the Presidential Palace on Tuesday, asked the Thomas and Hubert team to restore the glory of Indonesia in the world badminton arena. He said the entire community in the country already looking forward to the Indonesian team's victory. President Joko Widodo also told all members to continue to maintain the cohesiveness and spirit during the game. That's news over the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
This is RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with commentary, and today's commentary is on Indonesia agrees on joint patrol in three ASEAN countries' borders. Recently, Indonesia has just agreed on a joint patrol activities in the waters at the borders of two other countries, namely the Philippines and Malaysia. The agreement is contained in the first item of discussion during the meeting of foreign ministers and commanders of the armed forces of Indonesia, Malaysia, and the Philippines. The meeting was to see how the condition in the field and what response would be done if something goes wrong. They also discussed the quick exchange of information with the establishment of crisis centers and hotlines in the three countries. The latter still needs operational standard procedures. This joint patrol is carried out by the three countries in order to protect their citizens from piracy and hostage-taking that recently occurred in the Philippine waters. Some Indonesian citizens have been held hostage by the Abu Sayyaf group, which is known to be in the Philippines. To avoid the incident from occurring again, Indonesia, Malaysia, and the Philippines then agreed to conduct joint patrols. This meeting is actually a very important political message from the three countries aimed not only to the Southeast Asian region but also to the world, that these countries, which have been directly affected by challenges that occur in the region, can immediately respond collectively. This activity is part of the creation of a sense of security in the ASEAN region, especially after the crime that occurred in the strategic economic waters, and this area should be able to create a sense of security to have an impact on the trust of the trade. The joint patrol is a form of Indonesia's concern on security in the region and to increase responsibility in ASEAN trade and economies. Well, that was commentary over Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta on Indonesia agrees on joint patrol in three ASEAN countries' border. I'm Anna Trijayakasih.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Today in history, a compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Listener, meet again with me, Daulat Pane, in Today in History over RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. We start with the event on May 10, 1922, the birthday of Rosihan Anwar. Rosihan Anwar was an Indonesian writer, humanist, and historian. He is also known as the Indonesian press figures. Rosihan was born in West Sumatra on May 10, 1922. Rosihan began his journalistic career as a reporter for Asia Raya newspaper during the Japanese occupation in 1943, to become an editor in Siasat Weekly magazine from 1947 to 1957, and in Pedoman from 1948 to 1961. He also contributed to Indonesian film world by establishing the National Film Company in 1950 along with Usmar Ismail. Rosihan also liked to write poetry. Many of his poetries were published in the Asia and Merdeka newspapers, and also political and cultural weekly magazine Siasat. Before he passed away on April 14, 2011, he is completing a memoir of his love with his wife with the title Belahan Jiwa or Soulmate, a memoir of Rosihan Anwar with Siti Juraida. Next, an event on May 10, 1933, an action in burning books in Germany. On May 10, 1933, in all universities in Germany, the students set fire to the works of authors who did not get along with Nazi's ideology. Since a few weeks earlier, the students had been taking books of writers and journalists from public and university libraries. For them, the books contained the anti-German thoughts, or the authors were assessed as the enemy of Nazi. On May 10, 1933, during the night, about 70,000 people gathered in the Open Platz Berlin. Students carried more 20,000 books with trucks and other vehicles. Among the writers were Hendrik Mann, Erich Maria Remarque, and Joachim Ringelnatz. We end with the event happened on May 10, 2012, bombing of Damascus. A pair of car bombs exploded outside a military intelligence complex in Damascus, Syria on May 10, 2012. The bomb that contained more than 1,000 kilograms of explosives tore the outer side of a 10-floor building. 55 people were confirmed dead and nearly 400 others injured. The bomb became the deadliest attack since the Syrian civil war. Syrian government declared terrorists funded by foreign parties were behind the attack. Well, listener, that was Today in History over RRI World Service in Jakarta.
Today in History, a compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Focus, daily news and events.
This is RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia with Focus. The theme of today's focus is Indonesian export worship to the Philippines. PT PAL Indonesia has exported warship of strategic sealift types to the Philippines. This export is ordered by the Philippine Minister of Defense. The strategic sealift vessel SSV is a multifunctional vessel that can be used for war purposes as well as for humanitarian operation. The maiden export indicates that Indonesia will soon play a major role as a world shipbuilding industry country. The whole processes of the warship building works carried out by Indonesian best people. When sending off the initial export the warship made by PT PAL Indonesia to the Philippines at Tanjung Perak Port Surabaya Java on Sunday, Vice President Yusuf Kalla said that now it is the opportunity for Indonesia to become a country that can manufacture quality ships in large quantities. Vice President Yusuf Kalla also pointed out that the opportunity to become the world shipbuilding industry is quite open, because the center of the industry is constantly changing over time from Europe to Japan, Korea, and potentially to Indonesia. He really appreciates PT PAL Indonesia as a state-owned enterprise shipyard which successfully completed the order by the Philippines government on time. It is a pride for Indonesia to be able to export sophisticated ships. Vice President Yusuf Kalla added that the ship export success is the success of PT PAL Indonesia in the mastery of technology. PT PAL is a shipyard that has long existed in Indonesia. He sincerely hopes the shipbuilding industry in Indonesia will expand and develop so as to compete with the shipbuilding industries of other countries. He expects this success can boost the economy in Indonesia and can be followed by the domestic industry in order to increase local content used in the construction of other ships. Vice President Yusuf Kalla also said that in the future, PT PAL Indonesia will face fierce competition in the procurement of warships in the Philippines and other countries. Director of PT PAL Indonesia, Primansa Arifin, said that the initial export of the warship has attracted many foreign representatives. Some employees of the European countries and the Middle East are interested in ordering such ships as SV. Meanwhile, Chief of Staff of the Indonesian Navy, Admiral Ade Supandi, said the Navy will provide operational transfer of technology of warship strategy sealift vessel BRV Tarlat LD-601 to the Philippines government. Ade Supandi also said the involvement of the Navy is needed as a form of mastery over the technology transfer process. He also explained the knowledge transfer to the Philippines Navy is natural because it is a form of learning given what is produced is a new warship. Ade Supandi, who is also a commissioner of PT PAL Indonesia, also said that the ability of PT PAL in exporting the vessel is also a momentum to improve the quality and quantity of seed production in the country. Ade also said in addition to being advantageous from an economic standpoint, the achievement in the domestic shipbuilding industry also shows that Indonesia is able to meet the needs of seed in the field of defense in the country. Listener, that was Focus Today, read by Rahmana. Hear news in brief, read by Rahmana. Tinombala Operation Tinis extended to 60 days. Chief of the Police Public Relations Division Brigadier General Boy Rafli Amar said the joint team still need more time to capture the remaining Santoso group in Poso Mountain, Central Sulawesi. 10 police personnel of Palestine are participating in an exercise in handling cybercrime digital forensic in Indonesia starting from 9th until 18th of May 2016. Indonesian government needs to establish holding companies as per its plan in order to implement President Joko Widodo's economic policy packages, especially in the energy sector. Indonesian government has vowed to push the House of the Representatives DPR to include the sexual violence bill in the National Legislation Program, or locally called Prolegnas, this year, in a bid to stop sexual violence from escalating after the gang rape and murder of 14-year-old girl in Bengkulu. The European Union launched the Euratman in Indonesia. The luncheon was an act commemorating Europe Day on May 9th, the United Day of European Countries under European Union. Ambassador Vincent Garvan of European Union said in Jakarta on Monday that throughout May, the European Union holds series of festivities to elevate knowledge on Europe and the European Union activities in Indonesia. Deputy for Coordination of International Economic Cooperation at the Minister of Economy, Rizal Afandi Lukman, said Indonesia is seeking to reduce its trade deficit with China that has built up over the past few years. President Joko Widodo said he had a strong belief that Indonesia is able to win the Thomas and Huber Cup badminton tournament. That's news in brief from the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. You can also listen to our broadcast on internet at en.voi.co.id. You're still tuned to the frequencies of 9525 kHz or through audio streaming at www.voi.co.id. Here is our next program, Indonesian Wonder and Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
Hello listener, it is a great pleasure to meet you again in Indonesian Wonder, a daily segment featuring tourism, culinary, art and culture from various regions across Indonesia. In today's edition, we'll invite you to visit Lombok of West Nusa Tenggara Province. Stay tuned. Listener, for those who want to visit Lombok, West Nusa Tenggara, try to enjoy a variety of typical local culinary which is so tempting, such as ayam taliwang or taliwang chicken, which is very famous and must be tasted by everyone who come to the region. Ayam taliwang use chicken meat as the basic material, which is grilled with dried red chili, onion, garlic, tomato, fried shrimp, kencur, brown sugar, and salt. This culinary is usually eaten with other menu of Lombok, such as lobui, a typical vegetable soup of the local people. Listener, sayur lobui is made of local basic ingredient, namely lobui. Lobui is a kind of grain that looks like a black soybeans. Other ingredients of sayur lobui include ginger, turmeric, chili, tomato, onion, garlic, and shrimp paste. To make the soup is not quite difficult. Black soybean is firstly boiled, then the ingredients is salted. After that, insert it into boiled black soybean. Then added by vegetables such as Chinese cabbage and basil. Listener, when it is eaten, sayur lobui is so fresh and tasty. Besides delicious, sayur lobui also believed to boost stamina. Additionally, lobui or black soybean contains nutrient which is good for human body. Besides sayur lobui, taliwang chicken are also delicious eaten with a hot padi soup. Padi means sour in Sasak language, while hot means spicy. Sayur padi or hot padi has darker broth or turns to red because it uses red pepper and tomato. Hot padi also use basil, so it felt quite refreshed. The difference with sayur lobui, sayur padi contains various types of vegetables such as squash, sweet corn, eggplant, winged bean, beans, basil, and ferns. It is suitable for vegetable lovers. Sayur pedis panas or hot pedis is more delicious eaten with hot rice. Listener, sayur lebui and sayur pedis or hot pedis are typical menu of Lombok, which are easily found in Lombok. The price is 16,500 rupiah per portion for sayur lebui and 19,000 rupiah for sayur pedis. Almost all of famous restaurants in Lombok also provide sayur lebui and hot pedis. The vegetable soup, also a complimentary dish in some restaurants around Mataram, the capital of West Nusa Tenggara Province. Well, listener, that was Indonesian Wonder for today with the topic Sayur Lebui. We will meet again tomorrow with other interesting topics. Sampai jumpa.
To speak Bahasa Indonesia easily and correctly, we present to you Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia.
This is RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, a lesson in Bahasa Indonesia or the Indonesian language which introduces some Indonesian vocabulary and guides you to use them in a conversation. Today's topic is melamar pekerjaan or in English, applying for a job. First, I'll introduce some Indonesian vocabulary and idioms related to the topic today. I'll say each word slowly twice, you can follow after me. Melamar, melamar, in English, to apply. Pekerjaan, pekerjaan, a job. Selamat pagi, good morning. Kantor, kantor, office. Siaran luar negeri, overseas broadcast. Bantu, bantu, to help. Inggris, Inggris, England. Di sini, here. Bertemu, bertemu, to see. Kepala, kepala, head. Sumber daya manusia, human resources. Rapat, rapat, a meeting. Beliau, beliau, he or him. Titip, titip, in keep of or put. Surat lamaran kerja, surat lamaran kerja, an application letter. Korektor, korektor, corrector. Nomor telepon, nomor telepon, phone number. Telepon genggam, mobile phone. 0, 0, 0, 8, 8, 8, 1. Satu, one. Tujuh, tujuh, seven. Sembilan, sembilan, nine. Next is a conversation on melamar pekerjaan, or in English, applying for a job. As usual, I'll say every sentence slowly twice and you can follow after me. The conversation is between Rose and Dewi at the office.
Selamat pagi, good morning. Apakah ini kantor siaran luar negeri? Apakah ini kantor siaran luar negeri?
Is this the office of the overseas broadcast?
Ya, betul. Ya, betul. Yes, you're right. apa yang bisa saya bantu? Apa yang bisa saya bantu? Can I help you? Saya Rose dari Inggris. Saya Rose dari Inggris. I'm Rose from England. Saya ingin melamar pekerjaan di sini. Saya ingin melamar pekerjaan di sini. I want to apply for a job here. Apakah saya bisa bertemu dengan kepala sumber daya manusia? Apakah saya bisa bertemu dengan kepala sumber daya manusia? Can I see the head of human resources department? Oh, beliau sedang rapat. Oh, he is in a meeting. Kalau begitu, saya titip surat lamaran kerja saya. In that case, I put my application letter here. Saya mau melamar sebagai korektor. I want to apply for a corrector job. Baiklah, berapa nomor telepon Anda? Very well, what is your phone number? Nomor telepon genggam saya 08177999999. Nomor telepon genggam saya 08177999999. My mobile phone number is 08177999999. Terima kasih. Thank you. That was Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, a lesson in Bahasa Indonesia or Indonesian language on the radio. Until tomorrow with another topic, sampai berjumpa lagi.
Music Corner. Presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from the Voice of Indonesia.
Hello listeners of RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia wherever you are. Welcome back to Music Corner, a musical segment which introduces you to Indonesian original music, either traditional or modern ones. In today's edition, I will present you to an Indonesian female pop singer, Nike Ardila. Listener, let's listen to the first song entitled Bintang Kehidupan by Nike Ardila. Happy listening.
Malam-malam aku senang.
The song Bintang Kehidupan is a song from the second album by Nika Ardila. The song tells about the story of a broken heart. However, the repeated failure does not make somebody despair, but always confident that one day the dream of happiness will come true. The song was composed by an Indonesian musician and composer, Dedi Dores. Nika Ardila's songs usually received a good response from Indonesian music lovers. But the Bintang Kehidupan album has been sold out with a fantastic amount reached 2 million copies. The success brought Nika Ardila awarding best-selling album BASF Award in 1990 for the song Bintang Kehidupan. In the previous year, Nika's first album entitled Seberkasinar sold over 500,000 copies. Well, listener, let's listen to the next song entitled Seberkasinar by Nika Ardila. Enjoy the song. Listener, the song Seberkasinar tells the story of the journey of love and life. Happiness is always a desire of every human being, like seberkas cahaya, or a beam of light that can change everything. Listener, Raden Rara Nike Ratnadila Kusnadi, or more popular with the name Nike Ardila, was a talented singer who has given color in the Indonesian music world. Although her career in the entertainment world relatively short, a series of achievements and appreciation of music have been achieved by Nike. The award, or among others, the Gold Prize Asian Songs Festival in 1991, Best Indonesian Selling Album in Malaysia Music Award in 1994, second runner-up Best Performer, ABU Golden Kite World Song Festival in Kuala Lumpur, Malaysia in 1994, and the first champion Hap Me Pop Song in 1985. Nike Ardila died in Bandung in an accident on March 19, 1995, at the age of 19 years. Nike died while she was at the peak or top of popularity. A month before she died, her album entitled Sandiwara Cinta was released precisely in February 1995. However, her management still productively released Nike Ardila's album, similar with the previous album but changing the cover. Another form of appreciation to Nike was awarded through a museum which was located on Jalan Soekarno-Hatta, Bandung. All goods belonged to Nike Ardila stored there, including her clothes when the accident happened and a replica of her room. Well, listener, before we conclude our segment of Music Corner for today, let's listen to the last two songs entitled Deru Debu and Sandiwara Cinta by Nike Ardila. Happy listening and sampai jumpa.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia can be heard daily through audio streaming at www.voi.co.id.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz and 11785 kHz for English program, or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id. Send your criticism and suggestions to en.voi.co.id or send your letter
to Voice of Indonesia, RRI World Service, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta, or P.O. Box 1157, Jakarta 10011, Indonesia. And join us on Facebook, Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter, VoI Indonesia.